The Enduring Church of God presents Charles E. Bryce, bringing you a straightforward message on the abundant life and the good news of the kingdom of God.
Greetings, everyone. The Ten Commandments are under assault today as never before. Why is that? What is wrong with God's law, the Ten Commandments? Some in religious circles say that law was nailed to the cross. Others claim that the Ten Commandments are harsh Old Testament teaching that was done away and replaced by the New Covenant in the New Testament. This same law is constantly ridiculed, dismissed, and maligned by the secular world as well. You could run into real trouble if you try to post the Ten Commandments in any public place, like a classroom at school, and especially on a college campus, even in your own private room in the dormitory. We often hear in the news of legal battles taking place over the Ten Commandments being displayed in town squares or at places of business. I repeat, why is this happening? What is wrong with the law of God which He Himself gave to mankind? Did He make a huge mistake in writing and issuing the Ten Commandments? We're going to begin a series of programs today in which we carefully examine this vital subject. Let's open our eyes and ears and minds and take a serious, objective look at the Ten Commandments. Let's look at the facts and settle for nothing less than proof on this most important topic. Please open your own Bible and read for yourself what God's Word actually says about His law, the Ten Commandments. Don't just take my word for it. Don't just take anybody's word for it. See for yourself from the pages of your own Bible. Prove it by reading it with your own eyes. Let's begin with a little bit of background by turning to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Solomon was the wisest man who ever lived. He wrote a book called Ecclesiastes where he chronicled trying everything life had to offer. Been there, done that, so to speak, to use the modern vernacular, is what Solomon said about life in general. He directly or indirectly tried just about everything you can think of. And then he sums it up right here in Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. You may think you can find happiness in possessions or people or travel or palatial surroundings. You may think you can find fulfillment in being famous or powerful. Solomon covers all these subjects in this book, and then he brings it down to the bottom line in this verse right here. Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 13, he writes under inspiration of God. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. This is the bottom line. This is what it all comes down to, is what he's saying. Fear God, stand in awe of God, and keep His commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. Or a better translation, for this is man's all. Fear God and keep His commandments, is what the wisest man who ever lived said about the law of God. Now let's go to the New Testament and notice what an even more important individual said, none other than Jesus Christ Himself. Turn to Matthew chapter 19 and verse 16. What about the law of God? What about the Ten Commandments? Are they done away? Have they been relegated to the Old Testament and replaced by the New Testament? What does Jesus Christ Himself say? Turn with me to Matthew chapter 19 and verse 16. Here's what He said. And behold, one came and said unto Him, Good Master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? Now that's a very important question, an honest question. What question could be more important than that one? What is required of me that I may have eternal life? He asked Jesus Christ, the Savior of all mankind. And here's what Jesus Christ said in return, verse 17. He said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There's none good but one, that is God. But if you will enter into life, keep the commandments. Keep the commandments. So they've not been done away. They've not been replaced. They've not been nailed to the cross. They've not been made irrelevant by modern times. They are in force. They are required. They are sustained and upheld by God Almighty Himself. And we are to understand them and we are to keep them and obey them and be blessed in doing so. I just wanted to cover a little background to lay the foundation for this series on the Ten Commandments. As you can see, it's clearly stated in the Old Testament that we are to keep the commandments, and in the New Testament by Jesus Christ himself, where he clearly states that if we want to have eternal life, we are to keep the Ten Commandments. Of course, we cannot keep them on our own. He has to give us understanding of them, and then he has to give us the strength and guidance to keep them, which he will do. Well, now we will begin through this series of the Ten Commandments, studying each individual one with each program we have on this subject. Let's start with the very first commandment. Do you know what it is? Can you write it down on a piece of paper? Can you find it in your Bible? If so, can you explain what it really means? We're talking about a very important thing here. We're talking about a very important requirement for every human being that wants to obey God, every Christian that is serious about living God's way of life. We're talking about the first commandment. Let's turn over here to Exodus chapter 20 and verse 1 and see what the Bible has to say about it. Notice here in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 1, "And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God, which have brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage." Verse 3, first commandment, "You shall have no other gods before me, or in place of me, or besides me." In other words, you shall have no other gods. I am the one and only God that you are to look to, worship, obey, follow, yield to, and submit to. This commandment clearly establishes the fact that we are to worship only the true God, nothing or no one else, ever. Anytime anything or anyone comes between us and the one true God, we break this commandment. Instead of blessings, penalties will come our way. This is a law. It never changes. When we keep it, the consequences are bountiful blessings. When we break it, an avalanche of problems will come tumbling in on us. There's no escaping that fact. Now, what about the New Testament? What does the New Testament have to say about the first commandment of the law of God? Let's turn over here to 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 4. Paul the Apostle, under inspiration of God, writes this about the first commandment. Verse 4 of 1 Corinthians 8. "As concerning, therefore, the eating of those things that are offered in sacrifice unto idols, we know that an idol is nothing in the world, and that there is none other God but one." None other God but one, the true God. "For though there be that are called gods, whether in heaven or in earth, as there be gods many and lords many, but to us there is but one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we in him, and one Lord, Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by him." So Paul the Apostle upholds the first commandment right here in 1 Corinthians, which is in the New Testament. But let's ask this question. How important is God to mankind today, really? Is he number one? Let's be honest, let's be frank. Materialism has crowded him out in everyday living of virtually every human being, with few exceptions. Jobs, possessions, pleasures, people, power, money, and so on. All of those things occupy the number one spot in most everyone's life, nearly everywhere, let's just face it. And God gets pushed aside by more important things in the human way of thinking. Physical things, fleshy things, gratification and stimulation of our five senses. And we virtually never think about God, very seldom talk about him, and hardly ever really submit and surrender to him and worship him. That's just a fact, and it's also what the Bible says. Let's notice over here in Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3 and verse 11, once again, Paul writes this, and God inspired it. Verse 11, there is none that understands. There is none that seeks after God. Do you know of anyone who seeks after God? Do you seek after God? How much of our day is taken up in walking with God, talking with God, thinking about God, meditating on what he says in his word, really following him and drawing near to him and seeking him? All kinds of people seek pleasure. They seek notoriety. They seek pastimes. They seek fulfillment in any number of ways that the world has to offer. But how many really seek God and his way and his law? How many really draw close to him? How many really love him with all their heart and mind and soul and being, which Jesus Christ himself said, this is the first and great commandment? Notice verse 18. There's no fear of God before their eyes. Who stands in awe of God? Who is amazed at the very mention of his name? Whoever takes time to study about his vast creation and the greatness of God that you find reflected by all that he's made and all that he's created. How many people pause in their restless hurry in everyday living to give God thanks for the air they breathe, for the food they eat, for the water they drink, for the clothes they wear, for the home they have, for the job they have, for the life they have, for the health they have? Oh, sometimes there's a quick kind of routine prayer, asking God to bless the food. And sometimes there's a quick little bedtime prayer. Or if there's trouble or pain or desperation sets in, crying out to God for help. But how much of our time and how much of our life is occupied with being preoccupied with the great Almighty God? Most people have no fear of God, no regard of him, no thought is given to him. There's no time for God. To really be in a relationship with God takes more than just going to church once a week. It involves a daily walk with the great creator of heaven and earth. We become deeply, personally involved with him and with what he says. That's when we began putting him number one over everything and everybody. And you know what? He becomes number one even over our own selves. Our relationship with him is not one of convenience, a matter of when we can get around to it. It is constant, it's dynamic, and it supersedes everything and everybody else at all times. This is what he's looking for, this kind of attitude. Turn with me to John 4 and verse 23. Breaking into a thought, Jesus Christ says this, "But the hour comes, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeks such to worship him." Verse 24, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Let's ask an honest question, and let's give an honest answer. Do we actually worship God in spirit and in truth? I'm not talking about just going through a routine or going through a repetitive prayer or going through a rote kind of traditional meaningless service. I'm talking about a very warm, loving, energetic, kind, thoroughly rewarding relationship with the great God and creator of heaven and earth. I'm talking about getting on our knees and talking to him as a child talks to his father with deep respect and honor, and worshiping him, walking with him, studying from his word, praying to him, yielding to him, obeying him, realizing every good thing comes from him. And without him, we would have nothing, not even life itself. Do we give thought to that? Do we give him thanks and praise for that? How much of our life is spent in trying to please him? This is not some kind of burden. This is not some kind of bondage when we live our life this way. The commandments are not a burden. They are not grievous. They are not harsh. The Ten Commandments are actually a way of life, the way of life that brings untold happiness and joy and peace and blessings. They reflect the character of Almighty God and of Jesus Christ, our Savior. When we keep all 10 of the commandments, not 9, not 4, not 2 or 3, all 10 of those commandments, we're walking God's way. We're living the way He has designed that will bring peace of mind, success, happiness, joy, manifold blessings from every direction. As we obey that law given by Him, the great lawgiver, everything starts to work out better in our marriages. You will see the family coming closer together because you see the commandments are all about loving God and loving others. They're not harsh. They're actually the most definitive expression of love there is. Every single one of them has to do with love. And every single one of them, including the first one, has to do with bringing tremendous breaks, blessings, benefits, and accomplishment if we keep them and if we keep that first commandment. So we need to get rid of this propaganda and this false teaching that so many have been indoctrinated with, that those Ten Commandments are bad, they are bondage, you can't keep them, and they don't work. And they have been done away and replaced with Jesus Christ, and that's all you need, Jesus Christ. Well, what do we do with the scriptures in the Bible where Jesus Christ says that you are to keep the commandments, and that's part of worshiping God and following me? And He does say that in His word. And you start with keeping number one. You shall have no other God before me, our Father says. Now, He doesn't do this just to satisfy Himself. He doesn't need us. He doesn't need anything. He has everything. He does this because He loves us and He knows what works. Everything operates by law. He's made it that way. As we get in line with those laws, everything starts to go well. As we get out of line with those laws, everything starts to go poorly and worse. Now, that's clear in the Bible. I just want us to turn to a verse that succinctly states that point. Let's turn over here to Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse 29. Deuteronomy 5 and verse 29. You see parents who just love their children. They'll do anything for them, even die for them. They provide for them. They enjoy seeing them grow up healthy and smart, capable of achieving great things. They want what's best in the lives of their children. Sometimes their children get into bad attitudes. They get rebellious. They want to go their own way, do their own thing, ignore the direction and rules that their parents have given them. And it can be very disheartening, frustrating, and frankly, even devastating to a parent. And then you start thinking, well, if only they would listen, if only they would follow the instructions that we give them. It would just be so much better for them. If only they would do that. Well, did you know that's how God the Father Himself feels about mankind? And He feels that way about you and about me. And He says that right here in Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse 29. Notice this verse. He says, oh, that there was such a heart in them, an attitude, a mind, a mindset, an approach. Oh, that there was such a heart in them that they would fear me, not be scared of me. The word fear here means stand in awe of me, have deep reverence for me, give me their full attention, that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always. Obey me, follow those commandments. They're wonderful. They're good for them and they're good for everybody else. And they open up the doors of opportunity and fulfillment and blessing like nothing else will. Oh, that there was such a heart in them that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always. And then what happens? That it might be well with them and with their children forever. I mean, God's in charge of everything. He can do anything He wants to do. All things are possible with Him. He's unlimited. Everything is His. Of course, people think, oh, He doesn't even exist. Well, you can prove He exists. Oh, the Bible is just another book. No, you can prove it's God's word. And when you do that, then you begin realizing not only is God full of love and compassion and mercy and concern, He also is all powerful, full of majesty and might and glory. And He wants to share all that He has with His family, His children that He has created in His own image. He wants to share it all. But he's not going to bless sin. He's not going to bless disobedience. And he's not going to bless ignoring him and what he says. All that would do would be perpetuate wrong things with wrong results. He blesses obedience to him. He blesses living according to his law. He blesses looking to him for everything. He will pour out unlimited blessings on those that have no other God before the true God. Rather, they have him as their one and only true God. That's what he blesses. And when that happens, he says right here, that it might be well with them and with their children forever. Blessings, abundance, peace, happiness, and much more now, and eternal life later. We're here in chapter 5 of Deuteronomy. Let's go over here now and read verse 6. You find the Ten Commandments listed in two chapters of the Bible. One is in Exodus chapter 20, and the other is in Deuteronomy 5. How many people do you know who can name all 10 of the commandments? And if they can they name them in order? And if they can they explain what each one of them means? This is a big subject. This is a very important topic. In this series of programs, we're going to try to examine each individual commandment thoroughly, both from the Old Testament and New Testament. It's that important. And if we will listen and we will heed and we will respond to God and what he says, it can change the direction of our lives to go the right way and live the abundant life from going the wrong way and living the miserable life. Not only can it do that, it will do that. And it starts with the first commandment. Right here in Deuteronomy 5, we read that. Now, we'll show later, and as we go through this series, that all the commandments are found in the New Testament as well. The law of God is found throughout the New Testament, and it's shown that it's to be kept. And then individual commandments of the Ten Commandments are mentioned throughout the New Testament, all the way through to the book of Revelation, starting with the Gospels. We're going to see that in this series. So don't say, well, you know, either Old Testament or New Testament on any subject, including the law of God. Rather, the approach should be, I'm going to live by every word of God. That's what Christ said. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Well, the Old Testament came from God and the New Testament came from God. So all 66 books of the Bible are God's word, and we are to understand it and we're to live by it. And when you examine all of those books and put them all together, you're going to find the law of God is a theme running throughout, and the Ten Commandments are to be found right throughout God's word, and they are to be kept with his help. And it starts with this one right here in Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse 6. I am the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. That's what he says to Israel of old, but that's what he says to us today regarding the world and regarding the bondage of sin. And he brings us out of there if we will heed and if we will obey and if we will follow Jesus Christ. Verse 7, Deuteronomy 5. Here's the first commandment repeated yet once again. Thou shalt have none other gods before me or besides me. Nothing, nobody, not even an idea. Anything can become a god. An idea can become a god. A desire, an individual, a car, a house, a job, money, position, notoriety, prestige, even vengeance, trying to get even with somebody. If we become so obsessed with that and we start serving that and that becomes our motivation, that becomes our God. Anything, anybody can become a false God. If it takes our life over and we begin to serve it, and that's what we think about, that's what we talk about, that's what we dream about, that's what we constantly are obsessed with, we have another God before the true God. What we have to do is lay all of that aside, all of it, and worship only the true God. And as we live our lives and take care of our families and carry on with our work and chart out our years and make our plans, God is in the picture in all of that. We ask ourselves, what would God have me do here? What does God have to say about this situation? Is this something God allows me to do? God says I shouldn't do that, so I'm not going to do that. I will ask him to help me see and do the right thing. As I'm walking along, I'll pray silently to him from time to time. When I wake up in the morning, I will address him first on my knees or when I take a walk. When I have some quiet time, or when I make some quiet time, I will meditate about his word, his greatness, his plan, his purpose. All of that is keeping God in our thoughts and keeping him in our lives and keeping him in the number one position, and therefore keeping the first and greatest commandment of the ten. When God's word clearly says we are not to have any gods before the true God, it doesn't mean that we have no God at all. It means that we do have a God, but only the true God. No other God. We have the one and only real God, our Father in heaven, and none else. We worship him, we obey him and serve him and look to him, and he is first and foremost in our lives, in everything at all times. What he says is the final word. What he wants is what we want in every situation and circumstance. We make no exception with that commandment. It's the first and greatest commandment. And when the Bible talks about you shall have no other God before the true God, this is a very practical, real commandment, and it means we have only one God, and that is the real and true Creator, God, and Father in heaven. If we start keeping this first commandment, we'll begin experiencing life the way it should be lived. Abundant, interesting, fulfilling, and peaceful. Leading to life forevermore in his kingdom and in his family. We have free material on this subject. We would like to send you at no charge or obligation. Just call our toll-free number at 1-800-581-1317 and ask for our material on Does God Exist? And The Proof of the Bible. Also ask for our free magazine, Straightforward, and we'll mail that to you as well. There's no charge or subscription price. This magazine goes into a wide variety of topics that are very vital to anyone who wants to be a true Christian. There's no price or follow-up on any of this material. It's all free of charge. Jesus Christ himself said, freely you have received, so freely give. Just call us at 1-800-581-1317 and we'll send it to you by return mail. Or you can go to our website at straightforward.org. Until next time, this is Charles Bryce with the Enduring Church of God.
For more information, you may write to Enduring Church of God, P.O. Box 1317, Chandler, Texas, 75758, or visit our website at straightforward.org.